All right. Hallelujah. His love is going to chase you down. How many know that you cannot ever reach a place where his love can't chase you down? It's amazing. He is so awesome. All right, Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your awesome presence. I thank you for how amazing you are. I thank you for being with us today. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Show them things, Father, through whatever you say through me, Lord, that I might not have said. Lord, just touch them where they need to be touched. And Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, help me. Help me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So I started last week talking about being a friend of God and how there's two people that were named, and I'm sure there's probably more, but Moses was named a friend of God, and so was Abraham. I wanted to speak on Moses first because Moses was about the presence. I know he was about knowing God's ways also, but the scriptures just worked out that way for me. So Moses was about the presence, so I talked about the presence, and I talked about drawing near to God. The word says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Move closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. And I loved what the Aramaic said. It says, and he will be touching you. And I loved, you can initiate this step anytime. Any time of the day, any moment, any second, you can draw near to him. Who, I need you, and there he is. Right? And he made it all possible because of Jesus. Right? If you'll read Romans 5, 10 to 11 with me. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Now you're listed as a friend of God. All because of Jesus. He made us friends with God. So I talked about, you know, keys to being a friend of God. And one was drawing near. The second one was to seek his face, his presence. I loved, you know, it said that Moses spoke with God face to face as a friend. When they, in Hebrew, they don't have the word presence. It's face to face. Okay, and that, to me, tells you that it's intimate. I know even last week, me and Laura were like face to face. And I was like, that's really intimate. It's an intimate time, okay? So Moses spoke with God face to face as a friend. I loved how Moses said, if you don't go with us, I would rather stay in this place. Remember, this place was the desert. It wasn't a comfortable place, was it? It wasn't a comfortable place. In Psalms 63, I'm just going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. I don't know how many like the Passion Translation. How many dislike it? No, I'm just kidding. It says, "Oh God of my life, I'm lovesick for you in this weary wilderness. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you more, with the cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearning grips my soul for you, my God. I'm energized every time I enter your heavenly sanctuary to seek more of your power and drink in more of your glory, for your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. How I love and praise you, God. Daily, I will worship you passionately with all my heart. And I could go on and on. But even David there was yearning in a dry and weary, you know, Moses was like, you know what? Don't take me out of this place. If your presence doesn't go with me, I'd rather stay in this dry place and have you have your presence and know you. His presence on you sets you apart, right? His presence among us, sets us apart from all other people. That's what Moses was saying. And then I got into knowing his ways just a little bit about Moses, because he knew God's ways, right? That was the difference between the Israelites and Moses. God called them all up the mountain, but only Moses went. And they said, no, this is too scary. This is too scary a thing for me. You go, you hear from God, and then come back and tell us what he said. They didn't draw near, right? So knowing your ways, and I want to bring Abraham into this. Because Abraham's, when it talks about him being a friend of God, it talks more about knowing his ways. So if you go to James 2:23, and so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So I have three keys of knowing his ways, or three ways of knowing his ways. Okay, we're gonna step into this. Now, the first one to me is faith. Faith. Now you take 10 minutes and try to say what faith is. But I feel like this is what God wanted you to hear this morning. So I'm not going to cover every basis of faith. But it says that Abraham believed God. Believed is faith. There. That word means faith. And then it says because God counted him as righteous because of his faith. All right. I don't know what you think of faith. What's your definition of faith? But I looked it up, and I know that faith excites God's heart. He gets excited when you walk in faith. So let's just, I looked up the Strong's, and I forgot to write down some of the other dictionaries I looked in. So, but I just did a hodge of different things, okay? And I hope this blesses you, because it was awesome for me. Faith in the Strong's was believe, trust, confidence, fidelity, faith, and faithfulness. It said that it was a gift from God and never something produced by people. That's good, right? By the faith of God, right? It's God's faith. I thought that was good. Faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion. Therefore, distinct from human belief, yet involving it. Do I need to say that again? Faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion. He persuades you. Okay, he'll speak something, and then what does it do to your heart? How many have heard from God? Okay, so when he spoke that to you, did you go, yes? That's it. I know this is going. I'm always like, this is gonna happen. Okay. But it wasn't, my belief has to work with it. That's what this is saying. It has to work with it. But when he speaks, then you're like, yes. Okay. Now it's different when he doesn't speak, right? Have you been praying in a situation and you're like, God's silent, God's silent, God's silent, haven't heard from him, don't feel him, don't know. How many have ever been there? Right? What do you do? Create faith? No. Wait. Because, right, we have to have faith from God. Knowing the principles of his word will help you through that time. When you stand, when it says, when you've done all, then stand. Right? You're standing on peace. Because I'm not hearing, I'm standing on peace. I know he's a good, good father. You know, this may be a terrible situation, but I know. Right? You stand on the principles of God's word when you don't know. I think it says in Hebrews, it says you inherit the promises through patience, right? I might not be saying that how the Bible says this exactly, but my translation. You inherit his promises through patience. So he works with your belief system. It's not about you and you believing and creating the belief. It's about you hearing from him. And this, again, it depicts intimacy with him. It depicts relationship with him, being a friend with him, face to face with him. Faith. The Lord continually births faith in the yielded believer so they can know what he prefers. Okay, pretty self-explanatory. I like that. He puts it in you. And I know what he prefers. I know how he sees it. Because how many have thought of, you know, you're like, oh, it's got to go this way. And then he shows you something and it's like the opposite of what you're thinking. God guarantees that the revelation will come to pass. When he speaks to you, faith, that's faith. I did look up, O ye of little faith. See, ever guys find that interesting? And I thought this was really good, so this is for free. When he spoke about being, O ye of little faith, it said Jesus was rebuking the problem of failing to hear his voice. Or disinterested in walking intimately with him. It's good. That was good. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith, can you look at faith apart from God? No. Sometimes, do you ever do that? You're studying the Bible and you look at it apart from God. Do you know what I'm saying with that? You try to think of it as its separate thing, but it's never that. It's always relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit. Faith can never be separated from him because he's the one that gives you it. Okay? So it's impossible to please him. I like what it says. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And I like how, I forget what translation I used here, the New King James Version, because they put that comma there. It says, for you must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is peace, that he is your joy, that he is your strength. And if you don't hang out with him, you won't know his ways. If you're not friends, face to face, you won't know what he prefers. You won't know his ways. You have to know who he is, and you have to know him experientially for yourself. I cannot give you my relationship with God. I can't lay my hands on you and you know him instantly. That would be amazing, but But I cannot give that. You have to sit down with God and be like, all right, what's up? Let's hang out. What's on your mind? And see what he says. And he may not say anything. But some of the questions you might ask might be answered through people that you're around. It might be answered through when you read the word. It might, you know, it's he's incredible how he will speak to you so that you know who he is. Faith comes by hearing. Oops, I forgot the last part. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you constantly are seeking his presence, like I said, when you're seeking his face, he's going to reward you. And it is so fun. He can be funny. I've had some funny things happen to me. I'll just tell you one quickly. I probably told you before. But I was picturing this grand forest. And you know how the light's coming through, this bright light's coming through. And I was just like, oh, we're oaks of righteousness planted by the rivers of living water. You know, and I was going through all the tree scriptures, right? And I was so serious. Now, some of you may not get this, but all of a sudden, Jesus leans over to me and he says, I am Groot. So some people get it. You'd have to see Guardians of the Galaxy because he's the everlasting root. So I just busted out laughing because here I'm being all serious and then Jesus is funny. You know, I'm like, no, that's not supposed to be. He's serious. He's intense. But I laughed my head off. So now what I carry around with me, I didn't take them out, but on my keychain, I have a little Groot. And it just makes me laugh. It makes me chuckle. Because I love my relationship with God. He's fun, and he's a rewarder if you continually seek him. Just continually, and that what I mean by that is just talk to him. Be God conscious, right, Carrie? All the time. Just invite him into your shopping, invite him into your work, invite him and take him in. Okay, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That the word there is the rhema, the spoken word of God. It comes, we talked about this already. He gets so excited to speak to you. You get so excited because you can take that. Okay, and then it says, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? When he speaks something and you're still going through it, nope, God spoke this. I'm gonna keep walking. For the just, right? The just shall live by faith. We live by our relationship with him. We live by knowing him. I like this. It's 1 John 5:4, if you ever want to read it, but it says, for every child defeats this evil world, and we achieve this through our faith. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors because of him, because of our faith in him. One of his greatest things is knowing his ways because it pleases his heart. Hebrews, okay, so I'm going to move on to obedience. Obedience is the second key to knowing his ways. In Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He obeyed. So obedience. Now, how many of us think of, oh, I just can't obey God. I just don't obey God. Is obedience, when you say obedience, is that a negative word to you? And maybe not, and that's a great thing. Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he was also received him back as a type. That's some major obedience, right? How would you like to, first of all, sacrifice your son? Not fun. But it said that Abraham was tested. So if your dream or your promise is laid on the altar, how would you feel? Is your dream or promise more important than the presence of God? That's what Moses, he was like, I'd rather have your presence and move on to abundance. Obedience. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Now I'm hoping to portray a different picture of obedience or obeying. Because it says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. I was like, God, that sounds like you gotta love me and obey me. Right? Kind of sounds like that. Kind of sounds like, but he started showing me, when you first fall in love, and maybe some of you haven't had that experience, but I'll tell you, you'll do anything. He'll be like, my husband used, "Will you just stay on the phone with me?" And I'll be like, but I would do it. I would just do it. He would be, "Oh, do you do this?" And I'd be like, "Yes, yes," you know. And obedience was easy. Why? Because I was in love. Now, think about Jesus, being in love with Jesus. Obedience is a natural byproduct. You will naturally do it because you're in love. He's so fun. He's so amazing. He'll show you more and more and more. So I never look at obedience as a bad thing. I always look at obedience as it's part of who he's imparted into me and what his love will impart into me to be able to just do, right? Now, verse 21, it says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." Isn't that awesome? Because you learn who he is, the Father loves you. He's so full of love. Verse 23 says, Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come and make our home with each of them." So awesome. Jesus said he cannot do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. He can only do what the Father was saying, only do what the Father was doing. Only say what the Father was saying. Relationship with him invites us into this obedience, which empowers us then. It makes us powerful. And when you realize that your entire dependence is on Christ's strength, you won't want to do it in your own strength anymore. And that is grace. Grace is God's ability in your life. Grace empowers you to live a holy life. Grace empowers you to be obedient. Would you rather do it by your ability or God's ability? Easy question, right? So much better by God's ability. So the third way is intercession. And this is a wonderful way of experiencing God. Now, remember Adam, or Abraham, with Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He went back and forth with God. God was like, should I tell him what I'm going to do? You know, and then, yeah, you tell secrets to friends. You tell them what your plans are. You know, so he told him. And then what did Abraham do? Well, if there's only 50, if there's only, and he works all the way down to, what is it, 10? 5? Right? Did it save the city? Ooh, that's a little conundrum for me. But he was still co-laboring with the Father. So in Luke 11, 5 to 8, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Intercession is knowing God's ways. Intercession in any circumstance, what you're praying for. And I even kind of like Abraham's thing because what his outcome was wasn't what happened. You know, how many have prayed for things and felt like God was on it and it didn't happen? Right? It's still that living in that tension, that mystery of God's ways are so much higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. I have to just go back to trusting that he knows the full picture. The big picture. I don't know it all, but I'm willing to allow him to flow through me. So standing between two friends, there's a friend who is standing between his friend who needs help and the friend who has sufficiency. When you're in the middle, when you stand in the gap, that's why I called it intercession. And I almost feel like every time we pray or talk, unless you're worshiping, it's you're interceding. You're standing in the gap for someone, maybe even for yourself. I don't know if that's, you know, true, but, you know, you can, I believe, because you need his kingdom to come into you. We can approach God as friend. It can be a place of intercession, okay? The needy friend, and also the needy friend was on a journey, right? So he needed stuff, but he was also on a journey. We can help people in the spirit realm to get to their destination or destiny. Okay, so we can stand in two different places, pulling them into their destiny or getting what they need. Hebrews 11, 8 says, again, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. He obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. When you step out in intercession, you don't always know what it is God wants to do, right? It can be a little bit like, oh, I got to step out and see. What are you saying, God? What's on your heart for this? What can happen? What will you show me? Okay, and it might not always be comfortable. Might not always feel like man, I'm feeling something with this one. I love when you just do, when he is really flowing through you in something and showing you. But when you're like, I'm going to take on this and pray, and you're praying and praying and praying and standing in the gap for that person or that situation or circumstance, it can be like a little bit like, oh, what, where am I going? I don't know this way, right? I don't know this way. But we want to be like Abraham and say, I'm going to step into this, and I'm going to see if I can bring heaven to earth, right? So Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So you remember, when you're in your, you always have to remember where you're seated, right? We are seated in heavenly places. Your feet might be here, but you're in two places at once. You're seated with Christ. You see from victory. You see from heaven's perspective, right? And that might even be uncomfortable. Leaving, you know, saying, what? I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places? That, I don't know that way. I believe when we pray or intercede in Jesus, we enter a spiritual realm or heavenly place or spiritual dimension. Sometimes I think when we're in prayer, it's not that Jesus shows up. It's like we've stepped into a different realm where he wants to show us what is to happen in that situation. Because he's always with us. And sometimes it can be a little like, I don't know this way. I haven't experienced this. But the more you do it, the more you experience it, when it happens to you, you'll recognize, and then you'll be like, okay, and I'm going to learn more in this situation. Is it too confusing? Am I being too confusing? No? Okay. The more you do this, you'll realize that you are a gate or a portal. Do you know you're a gate? A portal. Heaven wants, or God wants to flow through you with who he is. That's how he operates in this world. The more we'll do it, the more you'll realize, wow, I can bring change. I can bring, you know, shift things that can happen here because of who he is in you. And if he's not showing you to the shift, then don't. It's always relationship with him. Always relationship with him. It's really quiet in here. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something for us. It is working and agreeing with God to see and hear what he is doing and causing things to shift here on earth. We pray, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see his kingdom come and what's happening in his kingdom. Jesus said, right? I only do what I see the Father doing. We want the spiritual unseen realm to have more influence than the natural seen realm. When you are all about the natural, that's being carnal minded. But we want the unseen, the spiritual unseen realm, to have more influence. I listened to one, I think it was Charles Finney. He would send this guy to wherever he was going to preach, and that this guy would go like a week or maybe even more. Do you know, Laura? No? Somewhere in there, and the gentleman would go and pray and pray and pray and pray in that space. I was like, what did he pray? That's what I was like, but that's always my question, but it's just going and listening to God. That's why I think they don't tell us what he prayed, because that's what we would do. Right? Instead of, it would be our formula, instead of it going in there, all right, God, show me what you're doing here. Show me what you want to do here. Show me the heaven that you want to bring here. But I loved when I read on, actually, I thought it was interesting. Charles Finney quit preaching after this gentleman died. He went off the bandwagon. But I thought that was interesting, because he knew that what he brought to that city was what would open the word for his message, you know, open their hearts for the word of God to come in. I thought that was pretty powerful. So we learn, or we get to learn the reality of the unseen dimension and learn how to function there by faith. That's why faith is so important. Faith causes you to see. Faith causes you to hear. Faith causes you to know his ways. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ. There's that, set your mind on things above. The spiritual realm, the kingdom is at hand. What is the kingdom? It's who God is and how he operates. As new creations, this is what we were created for. We have access into the unseen realm through faith. John 5, 19 through 20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Jesus saw into the unseen realm, and he did what he saw the Father doing. This was not Jesus using a gift. His ability was from an intimate relationship with the Father. It was the Father loving the Son that caused Jesus to see. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things. This love that you, this reckless love that chases you down, heals your wounds, frees you from condemnation, breaks the power of shame, and removes the effects of guilt. I love it. You can have a scar and look down and be like, oh, God healed me. Or you can look down and be like, oh, that hurts so much. Right? But when he has healed your heart because his love is so amazing, you'll look down and be like, God healed me. The more we experience his love, I believe the more you'll see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, some people think that they're not spiritual enough or they're not gifted enough to experience the heavenly places or realms, being where you are at in heaven, experiencing who Jesus is, experiencing angels, dreams, visions. I mean, you name it. The great cloud of witnesses, you don't think, oh, that's not for me, or that, you know, that's like Abraham leaving everything he knew, right, to accept something that's completely new. That's kind of how it is to step into the spiritual realm, because he's so different. He will do things differently, like spit into the ground and make an eyeball, right? It's stepping out into new territory, new dimensions, new. The truth is, when you were born again, the spirit realm became accessible to you. And that's what the whole Old Testament kind of points to. Who is this King of Glory? The gates open up that the King of Glory could come in. David was seeing what we get to live in. The power and the glory that we get to live in. You were born. I hope this pricked in your heart a hunger to know him in different ways. I loved when I read Psalm 25:4. It says, make me to know your ways. Teach me your paths. Well, I started to think about if you try to make a path like through the forest or something, you're like, okay, I'm just going to go north or wherever, whatever. Can you just say that? I'm just going to go north. I think you might be able to get a little ways and then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, there's a river or a tree. We have to go this way now. And then we might have to come. So when you're in him, it's not just a cut and dry thing. You always have to be in relationship with him. You always have to be hearing what he's saying. And it excites me so much because I just want to know him more and more. Just like that, the Psalm 63. I yearn for him. I long to know him. When we sing about, oh, give me more, I just want to know him more. He's already given you all of him, right? It's just knowing his ways. And there's so many ways to know that he's like endless. And that's why it's like so exciting. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because you know what? His eyes are looking to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He's looking for somebody. And I think you're it. I think I got everybody. You're it. Knowing his ways. Faith. Because without it, we can't please him. And hearing him is amazing. And draws us to obey, which imparts in us obedience. He imparts in us obedience. Because when you're in love with him, you can't help but obey him. And then intercession, bringing heaven to earth.